Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church, and as all of you know, it's God's house. It's the place He's provided for us to come and worship Him each Sunday, and I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen, indeed. Our text this morning is Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 36. As we all know, Luke is the author of the book of Acts, and he writes in chapter 2 regarding a time when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And as a result of that, each of them was able to speak in the tongues of the many people who were there and who heard this loud noise as the Spirit came and descended upon them. And they couldn't understand how these 12 Galileans were able to speak in the tongues of their native country. And some of them laughed and said that the disciples were drunk. And that's when Peter stood up and said, no, the disciples were not drunk. He said God's Spirit was being poured out on them and on the people as prophesied by the prophet Joel. And Peter continued, as I shall read now, and if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 36. This is Peter speaking after the disciples had been accused of being drunk. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Time after time after time since his birth, there have been scandalous attacks on the divine power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And with modern and advanced technology of the communications media, we are more aware of those attacks each and every year. In recent years, there have been the Da Vinci Code, the Gospel of Judas, and the television series entitled The Jesus Papers. And now there is a pastor, Rob Bell, who has attacked the power of Jesus and the tenets of the Christian faith in an attempt to discredit, delude, and deceive people. And I think these attempts are all a result of a faulty view of Jesus' resurrection. Just last week, Easter Sunday, we spoke of Jesus being risen, that He is alive, that we serve a risen Savior. And I talked about how the resurrection was a victory over death, over the grave, and over hell. And today, we shall discuss how Jesus' resurrection made an impact on the people of the first century. In our hearts, we must ask God to teach us to learn more lessons from the resurrection and to draw more power from the resurrection. And by learning these additional lessons, we can overcome all the flaming darts of the enemy Satan. And we can be victors and not victims in a world of doubt, fear, and uncertainty. In 1 Peter 1:3, we read in part, "In God's great mercy, He has given us new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We know Jesus' resurrection means that He is alive, that He is our risen Savior. But just as importantly, the resurrection means eternal life for those of us who accept and acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and Savior and accept the gift of salvation, which is the gift that we were given as a result of His dying on the cross. So let's consider some other lessons that we can glean from today's text regarding Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection gives us assurance all things we do in His name and for His purposes will be victorious. Even though many Christians realize this, they still live with self-doubt. Many people wonder, how can I obtain the ability and the power to witness to my friends and to my family? Others wonder, how can I overcome the discouragement, troubles, and fears in my life? And Peter states a remarkable fact in our text. He says, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to God, to you by God, by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through Him, as you yourselves know. Not only were these works that Jesus performed a sign that He was the Messiah, that the Messiah walked among us here on earth, they were also a sign that God would work great ministries through those who trusted in Jesus' power. So we need to ask the Lord to help us fully appreciate and appropriate all the power, purposes, and plans Jesus' suffering and subsequent resurrection gave us, for us and our families." Jesus' resurrection shows how God's purposes, processes, and plans are always perfectly fulfilled. Now, I think Peter resisted the temptation here when he was talking to these men of Israel to accuse the Jewish elders and teachers or to point a finger of judgment at them in this passage. Instead, he focused on the fact that Jesus' suffering and his subsequent resurrection proves God's prophetic plan. You know, some of us have to have other people interpret history for us, because that way we are able to learn the more important lessons. And that's true with study of the Bible. Biblical scholars are able to help us understand the prophetic writings in God's Word regarding the plans and purposes and processes He has for each and every one of us. So we need to ask the Lord to help us to understand these plans and purposes for our life, for our relationships, and for the ministries through the struggle that He allows us to experience. Jesus' resurrection is used by Peter to explain the mysterious ways God's will will unfold. If you really wish to know the will of God, just follow the exemplary life of Jesus. Just do what God tells you, leads you, and you will see His will for you unfold before your very eyes. Now, the Jewish leaders rejected Jesus as the Messiah because He did not fulfill their expectations. Remember, they were expecting a warrior king, a Messiah who would ride in on a white steed and be dressed in full armor and carry a sword and lead them from the oppression of the Roman Empire. This was their expectations for God's plan to send the Messiah. So consequently, as we know from our studies leading up to Easter, they missed the greatest opportunity of their lifetime to know and learn from the Messiah. Jesus' resurrection teaches the lesson that we may be rejected by men, but approved by God. So we need to ask the Lord to help us expend more of our emotional, mental, and spiritual energies on following in the footsteps of Jesus, regardless of the perplexing pathways we encounter or regardless of what men think of our journey. Jesus' resurrection is used by Peter to show all ethnic groups of the world we have Jesus as our common way to truth, life, and heaven. There are many religions and many theologians who would have us believe that finding God's will is complicated. Sometimes I think theologians do that so they can seem to be so much smarter than we are. And most of them are smarter than I am, but I do know that finding God's will is not complicated. If we trust and obey what the Lord has revealed to us in Jesus, we're clearly shown what His will for our life will be on a day-by-day basis. So we need to ask the Lord to help us bring all people towards Jesus as a way of overcoming differences of opinions. Jesus is the key to all wisdom and to all understanding among men. He helps each sincere seeker to find the true answers to the most perplexing problems of this life and of the one to come. And we have the handbook to help us do that. We have the roadmap, the guide, to help us understand that God's way is not that complicated. Jesus' resurrection is used by Peter to even show that David, the Old Testament king, looked to the power of Jesus to conquer sin, death, and eternal judgment. Peter said about David in our text, but he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. And seeing what was ahead, talking about David, seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ. This sense of gladness and triumphant hope gave David the courage to overcome many, many types of adversities. So we need to ask the Lord to help us gain greater insight into the hope of which David wrote in the Psalms to God. Because David's great faith in Jesus' power of the resurrection led him to understand that hope. Another lesson we learn from Jesus' resurrection, it helps us dispel the sadness and gloom and fear of death. We all, at some point in our existence, dread thinking about death, whether it be of a mom or dad or sibling or friend or even our own. It's a sad time for some to think about that. And Peter teaches that all people, through the resurrection of Jesus, can banish fears of the unknown powers of death. If we just realize that through Jesus' resurrection, we are given the expectation that God will do what he promised. So we need to ask the Lord to do great things through our life, through the ministry that we do, and through our prayers. And he will fulfill each of his promises. No one, biblical scholars, secular historians, no one can point to a promise God made in his word that he has not kept to this very day. And so we can have hope that when that time comes, if we are believers, if we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that death will not be a sad time, will not bring us fear and doubt, but that we will know that we know that we know we'll be in heaven with God. Jesus' resurrection helps us appropriate the truth of all Scripture as we gain a greater insight into God's attributes. Peter explains in that text that Jesus' resurrection power and truth and holiness are expressed perfectly through his triumph over sin, over death, and over eternal judgment. And through Jesus' sacrifice of dying for our sins on the cross, we are able to come to God with full confidence that he will lavish his grace upon us as we gain more and more knowledge about the attributes and characteristics of our Lord. Jesus' resurrection encourages us to remain consistently true, faithful, and obedient to God's plan, regardless of our circumstances. No doubt that Jesus was tempted to give in to the pressures and worries and pleasures of his human nature. That was why he came to earth. I don't mean to give in to these, but to experience humanity, to walk among us, to have the same emotions and feelings as we had, to be tempted, and to resist that temptation, to set the example for us. But like Jesus, we need to press ahead with our focus firmly fixed on a heavenly goal without having disbelief, without questioning the Lord. We certainly want to grow in our knowledge of God's attributes, of God's plan, and we do that through study of the Word. But once we do that, we will have no question about the faith that we have is well-placed in God because he has never failed us yet. We must grow in faith and spiritual maturity and fruitfulness as we fully appropriate all of Jesus' resurrection power. And he sends that power through us. So we need to ask the Lord to help us to refuse to live under a dark cloud or dark moods and difficult circumstances. Instead, we have to trust him to help us live in the light of Jesus' power and his truth. You know, Jesus' resurrection teaches us to allow our Heavenly Father to handle the controls of our life. Some people, and I was like that at one time, believe that if they're not in control of their life, then their future, that something bad is going to happen to them. But by being in control, they can keep that from happening. And we know, or hopefully we know, that that is not true. That God needs to be in control. Peter reminds us that David said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, and I will make your enemies footstools." You don't have to worry about anything. Let me handle it. Let me be in control. Just trust me. And that's easy to say and difficult for us to do. But it's not an elective. It's a required attribute that we must have in order to have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We must let him be in control. I hope we all remember that God's sovereign power is able to deliver us from any and all internal and external opposition. Never underestimate the ability of God to deliver you from the most horrific circumstances that you could even dream up. Trust him. He gave his only son. And we have documented evidence of that. We have eyewitness testimony that his son died on a cross and rose from the very grave after 3 days. No one has been able to refute that recordation in this book. So we must have faith in him. We must learn from the resurrection. We must ask God to help us surrender all controls of our life to him, regardless of how adverse your circumstances are, regardless of whether you feel like you have to do this. You have to take care of the financial situation. You have to worry about the relationship of your daughter or your son and what problems he has. You're concerned, yes, but turn the concerns over to God. Sit down and talk with him. Let him know that you have faith in his ability and his plan for each and every one of us. We're going to, in a moment, observe the Lord's Supper, where we remember Jesus offering his body and his blood to give us salvation. And if you have not accepted that, I want you to think of, accepted that gift of salvation, I want you to think about it as we observe this ordinance of our faith. And if the Holy Spirit touches you and leads you and nudges you to come forward and express publicly that acceptance, I urge you to do so. Don't brush it aside. Don't wait till Mother's Day Sunday. Don't wait till Ladies' Day Sunday. Don't wait till Memorial Day. Don't wait till homecoming. Do it today.